Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. And this week, I've had so many good things happen to me over the week that I am confident that I will fulfill what is always my hope and my wish and my command that this time that we spend together make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. This broadcast, of course, this time comes to you from the magical Isle of Vashon, from the Jean Bosch Memorial Studio. Jean was the chair of the board for the Voice of Vashon for a number of years and died tragically before her time. And the studio is most aptly named in her honor. It is Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band KVSH and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, and all of the places in between, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out in particular to two completely separate groups of people. The first group are those who have chosen to fly small airplanes. And I bring this up because after my broadcast last week, Captain O'Brien, who is well known to all of Captain Joe's people, he is in fact one of Captain Joe's people himself, invited me to go flying with him in his Piper, and that we would go from the airport here on the Magical Isle, and we would go over and fly to Bremerton. And I, in particular, asked if we could fly over the shipyard or as close to it as we could get and still not be in any restricted zone, airspace, because I had believed that I had spied on my last journey to Port Ludlow to have my teeth worked on. And that's another story for another time, why I go that far to go to the dentist. It's a question of loyalty. And but I believe that I had spied at least two of those miserable littoral combat ships in the layup fleet alongside ships that are waiting to be either scrapped or going to be purposed in some other way. For example, one of my commands is now a reef, an artificial reef off the coast of New Jersey, the Coast Guard cutter Unimac, in whom I had the best XO that one could ever have in a catalog of wonderful XOs. So the trip, we drove from the studio up to the airport, and I was taught how you pre-flight a aircraft like this. And we took off, and it was windy and bouncy, and it was absolutely glorious. And we did indeed fly close enough for me to confirm that there are two of those littoral combat ships down there on the tied up in the fleet of vessels that are being not going to be used any longer, or at least for the foreseeable future. This is the same class of ship, of course, that we are commissioning at the other end, two, three, and I believe there is one more in this year's budget. I've talked about those ships before, and I mentioned them here only because I was able to ask my friend and colleague and aircraft commander, Captain O'Brien, to fly me close enough that I could see them. I was not able to get their hull numbers, but that's what they are. There's no mistaking them. They are incredibly ugly ships, and all of their ugliness was on full display. But I take this opportunity to publicly thank Captain O'Brien for hazarding me hazarding us. Actually, the hazard was because I was there. The opportunity for me to hit a switch, to twist a knob, or to carry out some of the depredation on the aircraft is pretty high. And it was just a wonderful day. And Truman, I thank you very much for it. The second group are people who sent me letters and other signals, and I had a couple of them this week. One of them came from a lady who has diverted the required minimum distribution from her IRA to a donation to the Voice of Vashon. I don't quite know exactly how that works, but it seems to me, my IRA, I converted over to a Roth IRA, and so I don't have to make any required minimum distributions. But anyway, this lovely lady did that. And along with the check, she sent a note in which she mentioned Brown Briefly, which is the broadcast that's on before mine, and From the Captain's Chair. So, Annie, this is my thanks to you from both broadcasts, both hosts, both producers. That's what we're called by the Voice of Vashon, both producers, for your donation, for your loyalty. And always do I hope that when you come away from the half hour that we spend together, that you do indeed feel just a little bit better about yourself and about the world in which we live. The Binnacle List today comes with pretty good news as well. Truman developed while we were out flying, and was this any connection with my being sitting in the right seat, keeping my hands off of the controls, my feet off the pedals? He ended up with a little bit of an eye problem, and of course, one of my regular and staunchest and most loyal listeners also had a retinal detachment. And all of these things are coming back together slowly. And so the counsel from the captain's chair, patience, patience, patience. It will all happen. You'll be able to get back into that motor car, Margaret. And you will be able to get out into your garden. You'll be able to do all of those things because a medical practitioner of high skill got in and fixed what was going on. I am also taking Blossom off of the Binnacle List because during the week, this is one of the good things that happened to me during the week. During the week, the report of all of her lab and x-rays came back. And for a lady of some generational challenge, that's the way we're going to look at that. Whether she's 14 or 15 or 16, we know not exactly. But anyway, all of these tests were run, and there was some concern that maybe the big C had attached itself to her. But in the meantime, none of these things seemed to have happened. We got a nice, clean x-ray report, and we got good lab results. And in the meantime, she has, although she still will not let me touch her or pet her, and I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point, she has decided to take over the place in the bed upstairs where I sleep. I went up a couple days ago to pick something up, and there was this little black pile on my side just underneath my pillow. So clearly she wants to be around, and clearly she has developed some kind of affection for the captain, and so I'm not going to continue reporting on her progress until either she goes south or she develops such a high level of fondness that she will indeed let me pet her. But in the meantime, she is fulfilling everything that Sailor and I had hoped to have when we put out the word that we wanted a cat that nobody else wanted, and that's how we got Blossom. The next thing that happened was on Saturday night, I was checking my email one more time before I moved Blossom out of the... Actually, she moves herself once she sees me headed in her direction. And was getting ready to climb up into my hammock. We slept in hammocks in Eagle in my training days as a cadet at the Coast Guard Academy. Alas, she no longer carries hammocks now. Everybody sleeps in bunks. Anyway, I was headed up that way and decided to check my electronic mail one more time. And there was a signal from somebody who was staying in one of our houses out at Point Robinson. Captain Joe, we are staying in Quarters A. Could we have a tour of the lighthouse? Short notice, Erica. And my initial reaction was unkind and unseemly. No, I don't feel like doing it first thing tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. But then my better nature kicked in. And I sent a signal back and I said, I am available at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, I was at the light and this lovely family came marching down from Quarters A. And we had just a delightful time. The head of the family is a police sergeant in the Bothell, Washington Police Department. And his lovely wife, Erica, works for the Seattle Fire Department. And the children are all either just close to teenage or teenagers themselves. I had allocated an hour because I had another commitment afterwards. And the hour went by far too quickly, and we still had a lot of things to talk about. And so that opened up yet another new friendship for the captain. I love it when these things develop like that. And I will point out here that for any of Captain Joe's people who are going to be on the Magical Isle, and are not able to come to the regular tours, which start on Sunday, Mother's Day, which is also Kite Day, that you can book with me a tour where I meet you at the lighthouse and we do a tour together. I do not do private tours. Whenever I do a book tour, a reserve tour, like with Erica and the sergeant, I also include anybody who is out there who would like to join in. And I do this because the lighthouse and the property all belong to all of us. It's owned by the Coast Guard, and it's on a long-term lease to the Vashon Park District. And we can almost always find a mutually agreeable time and date, and I go out and we do some special time together. I've done probably 20 or 30 this year, besides the ones that are on the regularly scheduled Sundays, which I start again on Mother's Day. Also Kite Day, and we will be flying my Dragonfly kite. And if Erica and the sergeant come out with the children, I will offer them the opportunity to fly the Dragonfly. We need about 15 knots of wind because it's pretty heavy, and it's a pretty complex one. And it is in the hangar. The hangar is the lighthouse. So I thank this particular family for their asking me to do the tour. And I am chiding myself for my unkind and ungracious first reaction. On the Chesapeake Bay in the Port of Baltimore, things are moving along in a smart and seamanlike fashion. There are now channels open where shallow draft vessels can go back and forth. And the organization has started to lift the containers off of the ship, which means that they will be able to start lifting the steel, if they haven't already started, start lifting the steel off the forecastle. I pointed out last week that all of these pieces are either in compression or tension, and the removal of any one of them has to be very carefully calculated so that we don't do any further damage, but more importantly, we don't harm or injure or kill any of the workmen that are actually doing the work. During the week, there were two press conferences, one by the colonel that is in charge of the Army Corps of Engineers group that is doing the work, and the other one was Sea Systems Command, Navy Sea Systems Command, which is providing under contract the heavy lift cranes. My feeling about this sort of thing is that because the captain of the port, a Coast Guard captain, is the one who is responsible for coordinating all of this and for commanding that task force, that any press conferences should come under his jurisdiction. And I say this not just because I want my people to get the credit that they deserve. This captain is doing an absolutely splendid job with this. But also because if either or any of the other elements of the task force make a mistake and something happens, the captain of the port, that Coast Guard captain, is in the final analysis responsible and accountable, and that's the way that it should be. It is his plan that was pre-positioned for in a generic way and then was dusted off very quickly, and the specifics were filled in, and that's how he got Sea Systems Command with those cranes, and that's how he got the Army Corps of Engineers, and that's how he got Baltimore Gas and Electric, because there is a gas line right underneath that ship that is stuck in the bridge. So a hearty well done to all hands, but in particular, a Bravo Zulu to that captain of the port. I have been a captain of the port, and that was up in the Sioux on the St. Mary's River. And I know the kind of pressures that he is under from all kinds of places. He is doing everything that I can see. From everything that I can see, he is doing a splendid job, and a well done to him for that. The Professional Mariner is my magazine for this week, and it comes with a number of articles of great interest to your captain, but the one that I have chosen to talk about today is one in which the Great Lakes Dredging Company, which no longer is on the Great Lakes, its headquarters is in Houston, is building a very large dredge, which is not going to work on the Great Lakes, although much of the Great Lakes has to be dredged, and that's done by the Corps, either under directly or under contract. Corps of Engineers, by the way, is a very interesting organization in the U.S. Army, and I probably will dedicate more time to it in a future broadcast, because it is it's really an interesting way it is set up, and it has some very interesting missions, including operating all of the locks that we have in America. The locks at the Sioux that lower ships 23 feet from Lake Superior down to Lake Huron. Those are all operated, owned and operated by the Army Corps of Engineers. You see the flag, the red flag with the castle, which is the emblem of the Army Corps. You see that flying at any locks. The Chittenden Locks here in Seattle, also operated by the Army Corps of Engineers. So this dredge is being constructed in Philadelphia by a company with the Great Lakes name, which is home-ported in Houston. And this dredge is going to go and collect rock from quarries along the east coast of the United States and deposit these rocks into piles. And on top of those piles will be built offshore wind turbine equipment. My concern about all of this is that when we no longer have wind turbines, I My feeling is that this particular way of generating electricity is complicated, it's expensive, and it may not last because we'll find other ways and probably we'll be able to use much more of the energy that comes from the sun. But however we do it, my guess is that we're not going to have those windmills for more than maybe two generations. And then they will come down. They will be taken down, or they will fall down, or they will blow over. That has happened. Some of them have blown over. Some of the blades are absolutely enormous. And so what's going to be left, though, are those piles of rocks. They will be duly charted. But it would be my hope and my wish and my command, if I were in a position to command it, that when a wind farm piece of equipment is taken down or demolished or it falls over, that all of the foundations that go with it are also removed and the seabed is returned to its original depth. Fond hope, probably not to be fulfilled. The next thing that happened was that I was able to host a dinner party. And at this dinner party were four people that have been on this broadcast with me before. My attorney friend in Admiralty, his lovely wife, who is the theater person here on the island, the Vashon Repertory Theater, Charlotte. Michelle, she of the Kitty Vending Machines and from whom came Sailor, and her husband, the good doctor, who is the custodian of many things, including Mr. Yuck. And so we were four friends who had not been able to have a meal together for quite a while, and a few glasses of wine were offered and consumed. It came time to open another bottle. I, always the good host, started working on this bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, and the top was of a form that I had never seen before. It was not a cork. It was not a screw-on. It had some sort of a plastic thing to it. But I can assure you that this particular bottle, in terms of its quality, its location on the shelves of the McChord Air Force Base Class 6 store, was at the top. And the cost was not insignificant either. So one would have expected that it would have had a real and genuine cork, and that cork would have succumbed to my attentions and ministrations. It did not. So I pulled out my knife. Now, on my knife is both a blade, a regular blade, and on the other side is, it should be no surprise to any of you, a marlin spike. And furthermore, it has the capability of opening shackles. It's a lovely knife. It has a rosewood handle, and it was pressed into service to try to remove the top and open this bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, a refugee from the top shelf of the Class 6 store at McChord Air Force Base. And it'd be enough to say that it took two people to finally figure out how to get this thing open. And the counselor, my friend, attorney in Admiralty, said, would you like me to sharpen your knife? He said, I will take it home, and I love to do that. So I turned it over to him. I happened to have another one, not as good at opening reluctant wine bottles. And I turned it over to him, and it was returned to me today. Why do I tell you these things? Well, it's because these are all little pieces of life They're all pieces of a life that is fulfilled and refreshed by loving friends for whom I have the greatest affection, admiration, and respect. Every single person that I have mentioned on this broadcast is one of those people, one of Captain Joe's people, and also one for whom I have that love, affection, and respect. That makes me, as I've said many times before and will say many more times until you all weary of hearing it, that I am the most fortunate of men. And with that, I'm going to tell a quick story, and this is my last really good thing that, not the last thing good thing that happened to me in the week, but the last thing for which I have time. The first gift that Mary R. gave me many, many years ago when we were first together was a gold St. Christopher medal. Now, St. Christopher is the patron saint of travelers, and he was, as a result of some of the deliberations of the Second Vatican Council of the Roman Catholic Church, was declared that he was a myth, a legend, and that may be true. The part of the myth and the legend is to cradle Catholics, of which I was one, is that if you wear a St. Christopher medal, which has been duly blessed by a priest, a proper practitioner, that you will be protected in your travels. In all of my travels, I've always considered that either the aircraft commander with whom I was flying, or the bus driver with whom I was riding, or my own self, if I was in command, that was what was going to keep me safe. And here I am coming up on my 50th birthday in November, and I'm still here. And I don't say that it is because I have always worn that St. Christopher medal. But the chain broke, and I looked up in the internet for a jewelry repair place in Tacoma, because right now we don't have anybody on the island that does that, at least of which I'm aware. And I found one, and it was and I selected this place because of the website and because of the story of the couple. Joe and Leah own this business together, and they have a wonderful philosophy, and that philosophy is good work, honestly done, fairly priced, with lovely people. So I took my St. Christopher medal and the chain over and left it with them for a few days. I went and picked it up a couple of days ago, and I got a chance to talk to Leah. And Leah said to me, you don't have a jeweler on the island. And I said, no, so far as I know, we don't have anybody that does that anymore. We used to. And she said, well, Joe and I, significant that this is another Joe, Joe and I are looking for a place to expand. What do you think about our coming over to the Magical Isle? I hear you call it the Magical Isle of Vashon. And I said, well, I'm not qualified to talk to you about the demographics of this place as to whether it would be a good thing for you. But Amy, who is the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, is a wonderful resource for you to visit with and talk to. It is my hope, therefore, that Furcrest Jewelers, with the lovely Leah and the highly skilled Joe, a family business, will at least inquire as to whether this is a good place. And in the meantime, when I need any jewelry services, that is the place that I am going to go. And Leah, in particular, the time that we spent together was golden, and I really enjoyed meeting you, and we will meet again. And in fact, saying that we will meet again, we've come once again to two bells of the afternoon watch. That means that it is time for your captain to say that that I am, as always, on station and watching properly. And furthermore, that we will meet again here next week. I will be here next week, but the week after that, I'll be broadcasting from someplace far away. That'll be my mystery location. So with that, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.